Right about now, I would like to bring on somebody for you. Want to tell you that, ask you to help me make this introduction. I'd like to say a name, and I'd like you to repeat the name. And then when we get through, we'll all add it up, and it ought to have some fun for you. Are you ready? Let me say it first. You repeat it after me. John.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, a history of the Beatle years, 1962 to 1970. I'm Roger Scott in London. It's 1968.
You sit down, you relax, and then you repeat a sound to yourself. And it sounds daft, but it's just a system of relaxation. And that's all it is, you know, there's nothing more to it. So that we meditated for about 5 hours a day in all, you know, sort of 2 hours in the morning and maybe 3 hours in the evening. And then the rest of the time we slept, ate, sunbathed and had fun.
Sergeant Pepper's lonely, Sergeant Pepper's lonely, Sergeant Pepper's lonely, Hearts Club Band.
Crawl up, crawl up, my little mystery car. Step right this way. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
When a man buys a ticket for a magical mystery tour, he knows what to expect. We guarantee him the trip of a lifetime, and that's just what he gets. The incredible magical mystery tour.
Magical Mystery Tour TV show had been shown in Britain the day after Christmas 1967 and had been slaughtered by the critics. It was shown again on January 5th, 1968.
The thing is, at the time, I'll tell you what was... There's a couple of main things that were really hashed up about that. One was that it was in... We made it in colour. You know, it was a sort of colour thing. And it was put out, first of all, in black and white. So there's whole big sequences that... And you couldn't understand, you know, because they looked... I saw it on the telly and it just looked mad, you know, in black and white, because there were sequences where the colours changed, you know, and, you know, so, I mean, that was a bit daft. The thing itself was, we just did it off our own bat, you know, and I think it was put on, like, the wrong time on telly when everyone's expecting sort of Christmas extravaganzas, and we put on this mad film. But I've since seen it, you know, and a lot of people have since seen it, and, like, for instance, been around America since... And it's being very successful at the moment, you know, because it's now people are sort of catching up with what it's about now, you know. And So it's now beginning to be very, very successful. It wasn't on the day it was out. You know, the first day it was out in Britain, there was a lot of comment about it. But as I say, you know, it's been shown in America and it's been shown in a lot of places since. And now it's getting very successful. I tell you, I think it's going to be in about 10 years' time, it's going to be one of those films that said, let's have a look at that again. And it'll be like an old, Rock Around the Clock in them. Mm. You know, now they look better than they did then. Because they get some nostalgia and stuff. At the time, it was just a bit sudden and it was a bit sort of too great. But I still like it as a thing.
Let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit before your mother was born. Though she was born
should know. That's Paul McCartney's original demo version of the song. Despite the failure of the TV show, the Magical Mystery Tour album was number one in the US in January, and the Magical Mystery Tour EP hit number one in the British singles chart. In February, all four Beatles left for Rishikesh in India for an extensive course in meditation under the Maharishi. Ringo and Maureen came home after just 10 days. On the 9th of March, the Beatles won four Grammy Awards for 1967, and on March 15th, they released a new single.
Lady Madonna, children at your feet, wonder how you manage to make ends meet. Who finds the money when you pay the rent? Did you think that money was heaven sent? Friday night arrives without a suit. Sunday morning creeping like a nun. Monday's child has learned to tie his bootlace. See
Lady Madonna, released in Britain March 15th and the US March 18th. Next, the Apple idea.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
On March the 26th, 1968, Paul and Jane Asher arrived home from their meditation course with the Maharishi in India.
You sit down, you relax, and then you repeat a sound to yourself. And it sounds daft, but it's just a system of relaxation. And that's all it is, you know, there's nothing more to it. So that we meditated for about 5 hours a day in all. You know, sort of 2 hours in the morning and maybe 3 hours in the evening. And then the rest of the time we slept, ate, sunbathed, and had fun, yeah.
One Indian MP accused this place of being an espionage centre.
and
in fact, of being a spy for the West. What,
well, don't tell anyone. It's true.
It is.
We're spies, yes. The four of us have been spies. Actually, I'm a reporter, and I joined the Beatles for that very reason. But story's out next week, isn't it? Paper which will be nameless.
John and George arrived home from India on April 12th, somewhat disillusioned with the Maharishi. On May 15th, John and Paul appeared on American television to announce the formation of Apple.
How about this new organization, Apple?
Oh, yeah, well, you see, our accountant came up and said, we've got this amount of money, do you want to give it to the government or do something with it? So we thought...
Which government first?
Oh, any old government.
Yeah. Oh, any old government.
So we decided to play businessmen for a bit because we've got to run our own affairs now. So we got this thing called Apple, which is going to be records, films, and electronics, which all tie up. And to make a sort of an umbrella or something, so as people who want to make films about that don't have to go on their knees in an office, you know, begging for a break.
You will get
it. We'll try and do it like that, business and pleasure.
Idea,
that's the idea. We don't know. I mean, we'll find out what happens. That's what we're trying to do.
If you want to do something, normally you've got to go to big business. You've got to go to them, the big people. You know?
Well, you don't even get there because you can't get through the door because of the colour of your shoes.
Yeah, right. But, you know, people are normally, big companies are so big that, like, if you're little and good, it takes you, like, 60 years to make it. Yeah. And some people miss out on these little good people.
Or it just takes them longer.
So we're trying to find a few.
On June the 18th, John and Yoko attended the opening night of In His Own Right, a play adapted from John's two books by Victor Spinetti. On the 21st, Apple Corps bought their offices at 3 Savile Row in London. On July 1st, John's first art exhibition called You Are Here opened at the Robert Fraser Gallery, dedicated to Yoko. On the 17th, all four Beatles attended the world premiere of the cartoon film Yellow Submarine.
Thanks.
That's Hey Bulldog from Yellow Submarine. July 20th, Jane Asher announced that her engagement to Paul was off. On the 30th, the Apple Boutique in Baker Street gave away all its remaining stock and went out of business. August 22nd, the eve of their sixth wedding anniversary, Cynthia sued John for divorce on the grounds of his adultery with Yoko. Derek Taylor remembers the original Apple idea.
It was to run a brand new company in a brand new way and have some fun and hire your friends and make some money, sell some records and some clothes by the fool and so on. Make some inventions. The original idea that was put to me was that they would buy an estate and we would all live on it. There'd be a big dome in the middle, which would be Apple, and then there'd be four corridors leading to four large houses. One for John, Paul, George and Ringo. And around the estate, there'd be other houses, the sort of the gardener's domes, and we'd live in there. And one way and another, a good time would be had by all. Well, the reality was that they didn't buy an estate because land being what it is, the nearest place they could get was Norwich. nobody could see us running a record company out of Norwich, crazy though we were, and still are, some of us. So, I guess... You settled for compromises, and we ended up in a big 18th century house in Savile Row, number 3, which became known as Apple.
Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose, we'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our
And those were the days, one of the first four singles released on the Apple label. They came out in the US on August 26th. Another one of those first four coming next. It's the end of August, 1968.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. Anytime you feel the pain, hey Jude, refrain. Don't carry the world upon your shoulders. For well you know that it's a fool who plays it cool by making his world a little colder. Has found you, now go and get her.
you can start to make it better. Yeah, so let it out and let it in. Hey, Jude, begin. You're waiting for someone to perform with. And don't you know that it's just you? Hey, Jude, you do. The movement you need is on your shoulder. Side song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart, then you can start to make it better, better, better.
John and I were in friendly competition with each other, not always friendly, as it turned out in the end. But I mean, we were, it was a sort of friendly rivalry kind of thing. And if he'd write, he'd come in and he'd say, I've just written three songs or something. And I'd go and try and write three, as good as what he'd written, you know. So that was a great help, really. And if I was ever stuck on a song, of course, I was going to John Lennon to check it out. Excuse me, what do you think of this? Lousy, we'll do this. Or great, leave it. I mean, there were things that now, you see, I don't know, you can't deny when you lose someone like John. You can't just kid on and say, well, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. You really can't, it's just stupid. And I wouldn't attempt to do that. I mean, something like Hey Jude, I sort of wrote that one on my own. We often wrote things separately. And Hey Jude was really my one. And I'd written that, and there was one line in it. It said, the movement you need is on your shoulder. And I just put that in to block in the words. You know, I thought that's a daft line. Nobody knows what that means. You know, the movement you need is on your shoulder. It sounds like Treasure Island, you know, Jim Lad. There's a parrot or something. But I remember John and Yoko were around at my house, and I played them a demo tape of it. And I said, you know, I'm going to change this line. He said, you're not. You're kidding. It's the best line in it, man. The movement you need is on your shoulder.
I say, well, what do you mean? He says, great. So, you know, that kind of thing. You can't replace that. And that was it. So we kept that in. And I'm totally convinced about that line. You know, the minute somebody like him, who I respected, would say, that is a great line. Don't change it.
Hey Jude and Revolution, the first Beatles record to be released on the Apple label. In America, it reached number one on September 28th and stayed there for 9 weeks. On October the 18th, police raided the flat where John and Yoko were staying in London and found 219 grains of cannabis resin. They eventually pleaded guilty to possession and were fined £150. That conviction was to have long-term consequences. Cynthia was granted her divorce on November the 8th. John and Yoko's controversial Two Virgins album came out in the US on November the 11th. And on the 21st, Yoko had a miscarriage at a London hospital. The new Beatles album, coming next. On November 22nd, 1968, the new Beatles album was released in Britain. The album, a double, would later become known as the White Album.
I look at you all, see the love that's sleeping, while my guitar gently weeps. I look at the floor and I see it needs sweeping. Still my guitar gently weeps. I don't know why nobody told how to unfold your love. I don't know how someone controlled you. They bought and sold you. I look at the world and I notice it's turning, while my guitar gently weeps. With every mistake, we must surely be learning. Still my guitar gently weeps. I don't know how you were diverted. You were perverted too. I don't know how you were inverted. No one elated you. I look from the wings at the play you are staging, while my guitar gently weeps. As I'm sitting here doing nothing but aging, still my guitar gently weeps.
I think in a way it was a mistake doing Four Sides, because first of all, it's too big for people to really get into it, for reviewers and also the public. Maybe now people have bought it, and if they've really listened to it for years or since it was out, then they, you know, they'll have their own favorites. And there's a couple of things that we could have done without on the album, and maybe if we'd have made it just compact, 14 songs, say. There was all different types of music and types of songs, and there was nothing really shocking about it. don't think there was anything particularly poor about it, but it was a bit heavy, you know. I find it heavy to listen to it myself. In fact, I don't listen to it myself.
The White Album was, we were all in the middle of the sort of psychedelic thing, or just coming out of it or whatever, but it was weird, you know. I mean, never before have we recorded with like beds in the studio and kind of people visiting for hours on end and business meetings and all of this. And there was a lot of friction during that album.
I remember once Helter Skelter came about because I read in the Melody Maker that the Who, they were talking about a track they made. Now, I don't know what the track was because I never actually heard anything that sounded like the talk.
Yeah.
But the talk was the loudest, most raucous, rock and rolling, dirtiest thing we've ever done. And I don't know what they were talking about. It would have been maybe an album track or something. Never caught up with the Travis. But that made me think, ooh, gotta do it.
Yeah.
I really see that, and I totally got off on that one little sentence in the paper. I said, we've got to do the most loudest, most raucous, and that ended up as Helter Skelter.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Where I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. Till I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But do you, don't you want me to love you?
John wrote the tune Glass Onion, and when we wrote it, we were thinking specifically, I mean, he wrote it mainly, but I helped him on it, and we were writing it, we were thinking specifically
of this whole idea of all these people who kind of write in and say, who was the walrus, John? Were you the walrus, or is Paul the walrus, or who's the walrus? So John, I mean, he happened to have a line, kind of go, all, and he said, yeah, the walrus was Paul. And we had a great giggle, you know, saying, yeah, let's do that, let's put this line in, because everyone is going to read into it, it's going to go crackers, because they all thought John was the walrus, I am the walrus, you know, and it goes kind of insane after a while, you get into all these kind of reading into it. So eventually, he said, let's do this joke tune, Glass Onion, where kind of all the answers to the universe are. But we thought it was a joke. Now what happens is, someone the other night told me, he said he'd met a fella, and this is serious, he met a fella who chartered a yacht and was going out into the middle of the ocean, the Atlantic, because he knew the spot where to go through the Glass Onion. Now this fella's never been heard of since. But, you know, I mean, that's the kind of... that's where it reaches for us. Now, I certainly wouldn't go out in the middle of an ocean looking for the spot where the glass onion is.
I told you about strawberry fields. You know the place where nothing is real. Well, here's another place you can go.
December, the White Album was number one on both sides of the Atlantic. On December 11th, John and Yoko took part in a Rolling Stones television special called Rock and Roll Circus. The show was never completed and never seen, but this is the version of Your Blues they did that day.
You know the reason. Bone feels so suicidal. just like Dylan's missing the young and lonely. Wanna die if I ain't dead already. Girl, you know the reason why. Black cloud crossed my mind, blue mist round my soul. Feel so suicidal, even hate my rock and roll. I'm lonely, wanna die if I ain't dead already.
Hello, this is a big hi and a sincere Merry Christmas from yours truly, Ringo Starr.
Happy New Year, Happy Christmas, Happy Easter, Happy Autumn, Happy Michaelmas, everybody. Happy Christmas, everybody, to you. I'd like to wish everybody Happy Christmas this year of 1968, going on 69. Happy Christmas, Happy New Year, all the best to you from here. I'd like to wish everybody Happy Christmas, Happy New Year. From there to here, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year.
Once upon a time, there were two balloons called Jock and Yono. They were strictly in love, bound to happen in a million years. They were together, man. Unfortunate timetable, they seemed to have previous experience, which kept calling them one way or another. You know how it is. But they battled on against overwhelming oddities, including some of their beast friends. Being in love, they clung together even more, man, but some of the poisonous monster of outdated busload of hip throwers did stick slightly. and they occasionally had to resort to the dry cleaners. Luckily, this did not kill them and they weren't banned from the Olympic Games. They lived hopefully ever after, and who could blame them?
Well, here we are again. Another fab Christmas. Christmas time is here again. Ain't been round since last year. And we'd like to take this opportunity, all the way from America, to say Happy Christmas to you, our faithful, beloved fans all over the world who have made our life worth living. And over here I have Mr. Malcolm Evans, who's through thick and thin, would surely like to say a word of greeting at this festive occasion.
Merry Christmas, children everywhere.
Ringo Starr.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Hello, me dear. I didn't know you were coming.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I am. Certainly am.
I would have thought so myself.
Well, if you ask me, I think it's insane.
Occasionally.
Yes, me too. Twice a week sometimes.
14 and 6.
19 and 5. Save me if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Don't you say yes to me. I'm telling you.
It's a private line, you know.
Private line? I've been on this line for 2 years!
Well, it's my proud pleasure tonight to introduce one of the most versatile performers in our career, and he's come all the way from Stokely Carmichael's on sea. And I hope you're going to like him. Let's give him a big hand.
Happy New Year, Happy Christmas, Happy Easter, Happy Autumn, Happy Michaelmas, everybody. Happy Christmas, everybody, to you.
Once upon a pool table, there lived a short-haired butcher's boy by the way of Ostergrad. It comes in sentence, cesspool, Alwick Airport. Her father was, in a long story cut short, in the middle of his life sentence. We're indebted to the colloquial office for its immediate disposal, our Honowitz. Including, I might add, hoc vitello virtutem. On the other hand, bag, I mean to say, l'amore nous sommes toujours realistically speaking, for this film is about an hourglass houseboat. The full meaning of Winchester Cathedral defies description. Their loss was our Gainsborough nil. The sound of a manservant tile defectively lasting barred up in a love busy Gary Dale time. How close can you get his begging out under the council originally a bad bath feeling
court?
We have a special guest here this evening, Mr. Tiny Tim. I'd like to ask him to say a few words.
Oh, hello to you nice Beatles. It's so wonderful, and what a thrill it is talking here in Mr. Harrison's presence, Mr. Weiss's presence, and all his nice, wonderful friends. And the thing is, I just want to say Merry Christmas to you all and a Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you, Tiny. Would you like to sing us a little song?
Oh, I love to, Mr. Harrison. Here's a song I did in 1966 in front of Miss Jill for the first time. And I did this in Albert Hall, and what a thrill it was to do this then and now. Exactly, I did it then. Here's a real nowhere man, living in his nowhere land, taking all his nowhere plans. Nobody hasn't got a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you?
dear. God bless you, Tommy. God bless you.
To bring on somebody for you, want to tell you that ask you to help me make this introduction. I'd like to say a name, and I'd like you to repeat the name, and then when we get through, we'll all add it up and it ought to have some fun for you. Are you ready? Let me say it first, you repeat it after me. John. Paul. Ringo. Josh.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, a history of the Beatle years, 1962 to 1970. I'm Roger Scott in London. It's 1969.
In fact, I used to get accused in the Beatles, I remember John, once when we started Let It Be, and I called a meeting and said, I think we should do something. And I've got a great idea, we'll do this film. And they couldn't quite understand why I was trying to get them out of retirement. Remember John was saying, I've got it, he just wants a job. And that was it. That's about it. I do, I like a job.
Sergeant Pepper's lonely, Sergeant Pepper's lonely, Sergeant Pepper's lonely, Hearts Club Band.
January 3rd, 1969, 30,000 copies of John and Yoko's Two Virgins album were confiscated in New Jersey on the grounds that the sleeve was pornographic. The day before, shooting had begun at Twickenham Film Studios of the Let It Be movie.
Because, you know, whenever we talk about it, we have certain rules, like George saying, what do you want to do? And he says, no films. You know, but it's wrong, though. It's very wrong, though, because you don't know. He says, what he means is no hell, hard days, not, you know. And I agree, you know. But, like, no, films, because this is a film. And he now doesn't mind this, you know. But it's like, it's that kind of thing, like no TV show, no audience. But I mean, see, it's like, when we came back from Hamburg and did Leicester de Montfort Hall, or wherever it was, Coventry, you know, we played the ballroom and we had the worst first night thing and we were all nervous and it was terrible. Then we played another the next night, it was got a little bit better. Next night, and then the next night, it was just too much and we were playing and because we got over the hang of audience. It was just like there was no one there, but it was a new sort of thing and there was some fella in the front watching how you're playing. You know, we were just right into it. And those will have been, if you could have recorded those things, you know, they will have been the greatest, because it is, it's like Mal was saying, it's that bounce thing, you know. And we're good at that, you know, once we get over the nervousness. But it's like there's the hurdle of that nervousness is there now. So the, you know, when we can't get over it now, you know, unless, well, you know, unless we really sort of, like, go to the Albert Hall and get in a black bag, you know. See, and then the only other alternative to that is to say, well, we won't ever do it to an audience again, you know. But if we intend to keep any kind of contact on that scene, you know, I do understand George just saying, well, there's no point, you know, because it is like where Stravinsky, and it's in the music, you know.
She do me, ooh, she do me, yes, she does. And if somebody ever really loved me, ooh, she loved me, yes, she does.
Oh, Let's do the next one then.
On January the 10th, George Harrison walked out of the group after being supposedly victimized by Paul. He later returned. On the 13th, the Yellow Submarine album was released in the US. Together Now from Yellow Submarine. Next, Up on the Apple Roof. Alastair Taylor remembers January 30th, 1969.
In January 1969, Paul again got into the filming bit. Well, they all did. And one of the ideas they had was to really film the Beatles at work, warts and all. And a lot of this, of course, we did at Savile Row. And they got this great idea of filming them actually playing live on the roof at number 3 Savile Row, which was all very well. I mean, we stopped the traffic, the police were hurling round. The main thing that amused us, of course, we were doing this in the middle of the very highly respectable tailoring industry. Very straight people who just couldn't get this together, this unbelievable noise, and the volume was quite incredible that we got up on the roof.
One after 909. Cut my face.
On February 3rd, American Alan Klein was appointed to look after the Beatles' financial affairs at the insistence of John, George and Ringo. Paul opposed the move. Here's Derek Taylor.
It was too much for the people who were there to run. You know, I'm not an administrator. I'm really a terrible administrator. Certain things I'm good at, you know. I'm good at, you know, some instinctive things I can do, things that can be done off the top of my head, but don't need any real consistent application. And they weren't skilled in administration, of course. Why should they be? So no one was really running the place. It was running itself. And even places, places can't run themselves. They have to be run. And somebody had to come in and do it. And it turned out that it was Alan Klein.
On March the 12th, Paul and Linda were married, and on the same day, George and Patty were busted by the drug squad. John and Yoko were married in Gibraltar on March 20th, and on the 25th staged a bed-in for peace at the Amsterdam Hilton.
One is bed peace, but they normally spell P-I-E-C, but it's a pun. And hair peace. Bed peace is we're going to stay in bed for 7 days, sort of, instead of having a private honeymoon. It's a private protest.
For the violence that's going in the world, you see.
To say,
we feel that instead of making war, it's better to just stay in bed. Let's stay in bed for the spring.
And grow your hair.
Yes.
For peace. Let it grow till peace comes.
So this is part of your honeymoon?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
How are you enjoying married life?
It's beautiful, you know. It's beautiful.
Some of the things people have said about you, I haven't been very kind.
No.
Lately.
No.
Does this get you down?
Well, it's so much that it got past being depressing. It's gone into a joke again. You know? It was a bit depressing the way they kept picking on Yoko, you know, saying she was ugly and all personal things like that. But I know she isn't, so...
You don't feel you're being hounded?
No. I mean, because... Well, the amount of hounding we get, we're going to turn it into what we think
good,
is,
you know,
good use of it. If we're going to be hounded, we may as well say what we have to say about peace and things.
What about the future of the Beatles? Do you feel that you're still a group? I mean, you've gone through a lot of phases.
Sure. You know, we're closer now, you know, than we ever were. It's quite hard to stay in bed for 7 days. I did it in India, and it's pretty hard. So we're doing it, and we think we're doing it for world peace, you know. And we believe that, and also it's a joke.
On the 31st in Vienna, they held a press conference from inside a white bag.
But I'll tell you, one of the great moments of my life was Yoko and I in a bag in Austria, being on the front page of every newspaper in a bag, and they never saw us at all. And there that was on TV and in every newspaper, and a lot of it in England too, was just a white bag being interviewed, and nobody knowing if it was really us inside it or not. You know, and you had to take things with a pinch of salt. You know? And many of the openings in London where the white bag appeared in a big white Rolls Royce, actually John and Yoko were at home watching themselves being filmed, being shown on the nightly news. So put that in your bag and think about it. We had a, you know, and usually there was a serious intent behind it. Because our feeling was that, A, there's nothing but, you know, man eats baby on the news, you know, or the Daily Express saying, more bombs please, you know. And our thing was, hey, get some laughs on it. You know, the press loved it. You know, they love eccentric whatever because it gives them something to write about. So, like, with our marriage, even, we thought, instead of just being John and Yoko get married, you know, Richard and Liz get married, John and Yoko get married and have a bed in for peace, you know. So we would sell our product, which we call peace. And to sell a product, you need a gimmick. And the gimmick, we thought, was bed. And we thought bed, because bed was the easiest way of doing it, because we're lazy. And it took us, you know, a long train of thought to think how to get the maximum publicity for what we were sincerely believed in was peace. And we were part of the peace movement, believe it or not, even though we're from England, you know. English people are interested in world affairs too, and I still am. And the best thing we could come up with was bags, which Yoko had already been into long before I met her. And bedding, you know, which is how we could, you know, talk to a lot of people all at once, you know, and stage a theatrical event. The bedding was one of the great English plays.
About this time, a rumor was spreading that Paul was dead. Here's George Martin.
A rumor started that Paul had died some while back, and this gained tremendous strength for some odd reason, and whispers got around, and people lent support to it. and I was continually being asked if he was alive and so on. A lot of things added up. People, in fact, I started getting letters from people outlining how obvious it was that Paul was dead. You know, I began to believe it myself. The fact that on Pepper, on the back, he was the only one of the four of them to be not facing the camera. His back was turned to the camera. And he also, in the front of the cover, he was wearing a black buttonhole, as well as wearing a white or a red one. Little things like that, people were sort of reading and saying, oh, well, it's obvious that he's died and the boys are covering it up. Well, if he was dead, he had a jolly good impersonator working for him, because, you know, this actually happened one afternoon when Paul was around at my place playing the piano and we were having tea. And we had a big laugh about it.
On May the 8th, John, George and Ringo signed a business management contract with Alan Klein. Paul refused. He'll tell you why in a minute.